The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'll begin with a little Zen story. There was a young girl who was, her and her boyfriend got involved and she got pregnant. And, you know, he was kind of young and didn't have work yet. And she knew her, this is like in, ancient times, right? And she knew her parents would be furious, with her and with her boyfriend, who she was deeply in love with. And so when, the parents found out, she lied. She said, oh, no, it was the Zen monk down in the village who got me pregnant. So when the baby was born, they took the baby and, the father picked up the baby and knocked on the monk's door and said, here, you take care of him. And, and the monk kind of looked at him and said, oh, is that so? And took the baby and, spent some time, some months and months and months, taking care of this baby. It was a sheer delight and loving the baby. And then the young woman's boyfriend came back and he said, oh, I've got a good job now and I can help raise her child. And, let's get the baby back, So they went back to the monk and said, we'd like our baby back, and the monk said, is that so? And gave the baby back. So that's a high gradient of equanimity, right? But it really speaks to something that we do in a different way in our lives. There's gifts that show up in our lives. Some of you have children, you might, you have a child, you have these years, and then they leave and they go off, across the world, you hardly ever see them, there's like all these gifts and things and losses in life, things that come and go away, things are delightful and they go away. And this is the quality of heart, that it's not that we don't feel those delights and losses, but that there's a certain quality of mind that, oh, is this what's happening in my life right now? Is this what's so? And this is the quality of equanimity that we develop with this practice. As I said earlier, the state of equanimity is just a state of being composed, of being balanced, of just being here, centered, at ease. And it's something that arises naturally from meditation. As we get interested in our practice, as we get, really pay attention to what's here, and we do it with a nice, warm, gentle attitude, we develop this really wonderful state of equanimity. And, but it also applies in our daily lives, right? Yesterday morning I sat down, and I had a project that I had, I had set aside this block of time, this 4 hours to do this project. And it was, very important that it be done yesterday, the power went out. It's not here yet. So what does the mind do? It's a rile against what happened, So the question is, okay, what's next? What do I do next? And can the mind stay composed? Can the mind stay equanimous? Some years ago, my husband many years ago, he set a 10-day retreat. And this particular teacher had a way of a very specific way of teaching. And throughout the day, the phrase that would be kind of peppered throughout the day, every day, was be equanimous, And he just would say, if I was equanimous, I wouldn't be here. And it just kind of get him irritated every time he heard it, you know. And, you know, because I always thought of it as a state and not as something we do. But it is something we actually can do. And that's to actually incline the mind towards equanimity. You know, we can't force ourselves to be equanimous when we're in turmoil, but we can incline ourselves in that direction. And and what I mean by inclining the mind is to, you know, if you've ever, you know, had to get up really early in the morning at a different time than normal, and you set the alarm clock, and then have you ever found that you wake up just before the alarm clock? Some of you have experienced that. You know, there's a way that the subconscious does the work for us. So if our intention is, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. You know, I was in an argument with my husband, you know, and, you know, started getting very, you know, very intensely attached to my point of view and not very friendly. And, you know, many years ago, okay. It never happens. No, but I realized halfway through that, you know, oh, it's actually more important to me to love him than to be right. You know, that's actually more important, even though he's still angry. But I go, okay, I'm willing to let go of the anger. And all I could do, I couldn't make myself not angry, but I could stop feeding the anger. I stopped feeding the anger with thoughts like, well, he shouldn't da-da-da-da. You know, I just, okay, this is how the anger feels, and I'm willing for it to go away in its own time. Didn't reject it, didn't push it away, but just allowed it to move through. You know, I mean, yesterday's anger isn't here right now, right? It does go away all by itself if we stop feeding it with thoughts, with ideas. And that's inclining the mind towards a balanced state. You know, so if we're really worried, okay, relax the body, incline the mind in the direction of not feeding the worry, not, you know, going, yeah, but what if this happens and what if this happens? Oh, no, okay, I'm inclining the mind to relax, to be here now. You know, that isn't particularly helpful. You know, there's two aspects of equanimity that are in the teachings, and there are two different words that are used, you know, and one of them, upekkha, which is the one more people have heard of, it means to look over, and like an overview, like seeing the big picture. And the metaphor that's given in the teachings is, you know, sitting kind of high up on a hill and kind of having an overview of the valley below and the villagers below doing their thing. So the fact that one of the villagers is charging too much for something, you know, you're way back here, you're seeing the whole picture. It's just not that big a deal anymore. And so it's this overview of the big picture, and that can that type of equanimity. It's really important to differentiate it between equanimity and what we call the near enemy, which is indifference. Well, I don't care about those villagers down there. Yeah, they're petty. They're, you know, kind of rejecting them. You know, this separation. But equanimity has a warmth. It's a connection with whatever we're equanimous with. It's a relationship. It's not a separation. So it's, we are part of those villagers. But seeing the bigger picture, we're not just part of the villagers, we're part of the sky and the valley and the plants and the sun. You know, this is our world. It's a bigger world. And so that's one way of being equanimous. And in meditation, for instance, you know, if sometimes one of the instructions we use for mind that's really busy, you know, it's like it's just so busy, you know, and we can't you know, try to watch the breath and the mind just keeps, you know, roiling itself up. We can expand the attention, you know, get a bigger overview. There's some space outside the busyness. The busyness can be there, but we include some space around it. We can just back away a little bit. We can hear sounds, something that expands the attention. So that can be a very useful way, a very practically, of generating a little bit of equanimity among a kind of a confused, roiled up mind. Sometimes we get really caught up in something. I'll give you another example. A friend of mine, who's he's a dear friend, known him forever, and he's always late to everything, always late. And everybody know, all his friends know that he's always going to be late. So four of us were going, we were going to something, you know, and I was like really we lied to him. We actually told him it was an hour later. And so he was at the house, at my house, and so we were getting him out the door in time, you know, and he's like right at the front door, he's about to walk out, and his head turns, and a book catches his eye. And he picks it up, and our other two friends are sitting in the car waiting, right? And he starts reading the book, totally peacefully, you know, reading the book. Oh, this is true. You know, and I just grabbed the book, closed it, and shoved him out the door. You know, we're friendly enough that he could take that, you know. But this is actually what we do with our minds. You know, we get, a thought comes by, you know, we're meditating, right? A thought comes by and suddenly, oh, that's interesting. And then we're totally into that thought. And we forget we're even meditating, right? We're in another world, we just went on a you know, whole different world. And so having the big picture includes our two friends waiting in the car. You know, having the big picture includes our dedication to practice, our dedication to this sitting. I'm going to show up. I'm here to meditate, to be here. I can fantasize any time of day. I don't have to fantasize now. This is a time for me to be close to myself, to be connected with myself. So that's the big picture. And then the other way of talking about equanimity is, it's a word that I can't remember, but I'll tell you in Pali just for fun, tetramajratata, you know, but what it means, that's what's really important, is that it means being in the middle of things. And, you know, in some martial arts, we talk about the dantian, you know, the center of the being, and it's about being embodied in the middle of our life and being in balance. And this is really what the practice of Vipassana, of insight meditation, is being embodied. It's like we're practicing in this body, not in our heads. The quality of mind is part of the quality of the body, of a relaxed body, a present body, paying attention to how the body is. You know, kind of being like a tree with really deep roots, you know, really rooted in the center of things, and the winds, you know, can, you know, sway the tree branches, you know, but we're here. I'm not sure that's the best example through the storm, but... it's some of those branches that left us without power. So, you know, in a way, practicing being equanimous, doing a practice of being equanimous, kind of varies between which is helpful in the moment. You know, for tending an injury, let's say, you know, we cut ourselves and we have to really clean it out and take care of it. You know, we want to be in the middle of things. You know, that might be the most practical things. If we're driving in traffic, I'm going to have the overview. You know, I want to know where I'm going. You know, I want to see what's ahead. You know, you kind of want to have the big picture. And I'm used to giving these 15-minute talks, so I'll just end there with a little poem that I'd like to share with all of you. It's also, for some reason, it's a Zen monk's poem from the 14th century. Empty-handed, I entered the world. Barefoot, I leave it. My coming, my going, two simple happenings that got entangled. Sweet. So thank you, and I really appreciate sharing this morning of practice with all of you and some of you who I met, which was absolutely wonderful. And now we're gonna you'll guide people in the temple cleaning. So we'll spend about 15 minutes with temple cleaning. Those of you who can stay. And she'll let everybody know what to do. And after we'll meet, to meet in the parking lot. Is that what we've been doing?
It's up to us. If you want to be out in the parking lot, we take off masks. If you want to meet in the inside, we could do that.
Okay, let's go ahead and meet inside then. Let's meet in a circle and we can keep our masks on. That'll be okay. It'll just be a short ending to the morning. But it'd be nice, so when you're done, when she rings the bell at the end of the 15 minutes, just put your whatever you're using away and let's meet in the circle right in the center. So, of that room right there. So great. So again, thank you.
Thank you, Ines. May I have three people to clean restrooms? Yes, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. All right, and then one person to take out the garbage and the recycling. Anyone? Thank you. And then one person to tidy up the kitchen, the refrigerator area, the floor. Thank you. And one person to vacuum this area. Thanks. One person to sweep the social hall. Dry sweeping social hall. Anyone available? Great. Thank you. And then we have the cleaning of the grounds. The rest of the people, if you are available, the rest of you, if you're available, would be cleaning, maybe sweeping the front area, parking lot area. Okay? Yes, yes. Go ahead. The shed is open. Does everybody know where the shed is, or one of you? Okay. Then if any questions come to Daryl, the two of us are there. Okay? Thank you.